When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This show is sponsored by One Welbeck. Hi, Clubbers. We've written a book and we are so excited to finally be able to tell you about it. It's called Have You Tried This? And it will be released on February the 15th, 2024 by Welbeck Publishing.
It's the best of what we've learnt over 4 years of living and experimenting with everything the self-care and wellness world has to offer, all collated into one place, plus a load of new practices written just for the book. And the best thing?
Every single practice in the book costs you absolutely nothing, and every practice in there really will improve your mental health and well-being.
It's available right now on pre-order. Be the first to get your copy. Link is in our show notes.
Hello, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Laura Mishcon, and welcome to your weekly wellness roundup.
What are we going to bring today? We're going to bring wellness news, TikTok trends.
What's going up? What's going down?
You're liking that little segment.
I am. There is so much good telly on. We have to talk about the film of the moment. We're going to definitely chat about that.
Why don't we do that now?
Got a podcast.
Why don't we just jump straight in?
Jump straight in?
Yeah.
Go on then.
I assume you're talking about Saltburn.
What else could I possibly be talking about?
There's nothing else to talk about in the entire world apart from Saltburn.
I watched it. You hadn't watched it. I couldn't bear that we couldn't talk about it because you hadn't watched it. So thankfully, then you watched it too.
But then the next day, I called you the next morning and said, oh, I watched it last night. And you said, well, and I said, I'm actually not ready to talk about it. Like, I needed it.
I need a moment.
I needed like 48 hours to let that shit sink in.
I don't want to give any spoilers to the listeners.
Okay, disclaimer now. Just skip forward 3 minutes so you don't hear any spoilers.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Acting's amazing.
All of it. It's shot so beautifully because you feel so intimately involved in this story.
The house itself is like another character. Love the house.
The house is beautiful. I love the cast.
Me too.
The cast were all fantastic. The main guy, what's he?
Barry Keough.
I've never seen him in anything before.
He's been in a few, he's Irish. He's been in a few Irish things. I think he was in The Banshees of Inverness, whatever that film was called, that won a lot of prizes.
Very interesting actor.
Yes.
He's very interesting to look at.
Yes.
You kind of can't take your eyes off him.
Yes.
And I couldn't work out whether he was attractive or not.
To me, no. Jacob Elordi, hello.
Oh.
Hello.
He is.
Too young for us, is what he is.
I was going to say divine.
Yeah.
He's totally divine. And there's something wrong with when my 15-year-old daughter has a crush on him, and so do I.
You know that he's Australian. Wrong.
Is he?
Yeah.
Is he?
Brilliant accent.
He was just great.
Yeah.
He's been in loads of things. He was in The Kissing Booth. Plays a slightly different
character. I don't know The Kissing Booth.
In The Kissing Booth. And can we discuss at the end scene...
The Schlong.
Well, the schlong, the dance,
the song.
And I heard Sophie Ellis-Bextor on a radio show yesterday. Yep. She's gone in at number two.
I know.
She's at number two in the charts.
23 years after that single came out, it's now had a resurgence because of the final scene.
And it is the most perfect song because it's uplifting, yet it's very disturbing.
Yes.
And very beautiful and artistic all at the same time.
Listen, what we're saying is, if you haven't watched Saltburn, just watch it. It's on Amazon Prime. I think it's also in the cinema, but you can get it on Amazon Prime. It is so worth a watch.
And there are three main scenes that stick out.
Very much so. And
if you've watched it, you'll know exactly what those scenes are.
Yeah. Full on.
It's like car crash, can't look away. I can't stop watching it. Don't want to watch it. Through my fingers, like I can't. What is happening here?
And also don't watch it with your mum and dad.
Well, then Daisy watched it after.
Yes.
Which I didn't really want her to do, but all of her friends were talking about it, so she did.
Yeah.
And I said to her, don't watch it. If you won't want to watch it if I'm in the room.
No way.
I'm very glad that Max and his girlfriend didn't watch it with me. I actually told them to watch it because I knew they'd love it, but they watched it themselves the next day. I was grateful for that.
Yeah. So that's a must see.
Absolute must see.
Yeah.
Okay. Are we going to just move on to telly while we're on the subject of recommendations?
Yeah.
Because I've got two that I really, really want to share with you if you haven't watched them. And I actually think you would love both of them.
Okay.
The first one is called Based on a True Story. It's on Sky Max. It's about a married couple with a baby on the way, and they blackmail their plumber, who may or may not be a serial killer, into appearing on their true crime podcast.
Is it a comedy?
It's a very black comedy.
Right.
It's called Based on a True Story. It's not a true story. It is a rollicking, shocking, funny, such a good series. Okay. I binged it in 2 days and I really think you would enjoy it.
Okay. Okay.
The second one is called Beef. It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It is about a road rage incident between two strangers that sparks this escalating feud that brings out both of their darkest sides. And they are Korean-American actors, and it is absolutely brilliant. I thought it was Korean subtitled into English. It's not. They speak in English. But it has won so many nominations. It's fantastic.
And it's a film or?
It's also a series.
It's a
and
series.
I would also put it under the banner of black comedy. Very black, very funny, very clever, very different. So that's Beef on Netflix.
Great. Lovely. Right. Talk to me about what's happening in the world of wellness, because I can see a title here.
Yeah.
And I think this is going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Crying. Is going on in the world of wellness. This is what they're now recommending, to cry.
Crying is going up.
Okay.
Crying is in for January.
Crying is not a trend. Crying is an emotion. Well, it's not an emotion. It's a symptom of an emotion.
Okay, so there is a website that went up in October. It's called cryonceaweek.com. Josh and I actually went on it yesterday afternoon to test it out.
Yeah.
It's had 200,000 visitors since it was set up by this guy in LA. He's a multimedia artist called Johnny Maroney. He said, "I want to get as many people to cry as possible. I've made the website to help people relieve stress and have an outlet for their emotions, and I want to normalize crying, especially for men."
Yeah. Yeah, I love it.
Okay, so he was inspired to start this website up after reading about Hidefumi Yoshida, a Japanese tear teacher who says that he helps people to cry, and he claims that shedding tears reduces stress for 7 days. So basically, he puts up a little film clip that is supposed to move you once a week on this website, and you watch it and you have a little cry and it's a little release, and that's the point of
the website. Did you watch the film?
Yeah, no, it's just like a 3-minute clip. I have to say, neither of us cried. Josh was like, "I'm not crying. Are you crying?" I said, "No, I'm not crying." But it didn't help.
Are we surprised that you didn't cry? No one's surprised that you didn't cry.
Listen, it was a clip from Inside Out, the cartoon. And it was moving, but didn't move me to tears.
When was the last time you cried?
I knew you were going to ask me that. Mm. And I was thinking about this yesterday. I think it was in the summer.
About
August was the last time I cried.
Oh, was it when I was away?
Yeah, I cried for you. They were tears of pining.
Yeah.
When's the last time you cried?
I think I cried on holiday.
This holiday?
Yeah.
So like December.
So a few weeks ago.
Okay.
I mean, I do cry.
Do you cry?
I wouldn't say I cry daily.
Do you like a cry?
I don't do the like, sobbing into my pillow on my own. I don't do that.
Yeah.
But I do cry when I'm immensely frustrated.
Yes, me too.
And I'm trying to explain myself.
Yes.
Especially with Adam.
Yes.
Because it's just a very obviously safe space. So I do cry with him.
But
He doesn't cry with
me. No. But do you think that's different? Anger crying, like tears of anger and frustration, because I'm more prone to that than I am to crying tears of sadness. That's just not really something I do. But angry, frustrated tears.
Well, I don't carry a lot of sadness around with me.
No, it's more like if something sad happens.
Well, if something sad happens, I would cry. Like in the summer, when my friend's dog got hit by a train, this puppy. And it was very traumatic. I adored this puppy and the puppy adored me. Anyway, I cried a few times over that. Like I cried with her. And another time when I was telling someone I cried, I felt very sad and very upset about that. That's probably the last time I cried in sadness. But that's really sad.
Yeah, that is really sad. So research has shown that crying reduces distress and sadness and gives a sense of calm and well-being because oxytocin is released when we cry.
Yes.
And when we suppress the tears, it can have a negative impact.
I am all over this. I think this is very interesting research.
Okay, but... not every expert agrees.
Oh.
Yeah. There is a doctor called Dr. Ad Vingerholtz, who is a professor of emotions and well-being. Do you love him already?
I would love him. You wouldn't.
He says there is no substantial evidence in support of the idea that crying is helpful. The common belief is that crying cleanses stress from our bodies. But if we're stressed, our blood contains stress hormones, so our tears will as well. But it's not the case that tears actively remove substances from the blood. We're the only animals who produce tears, and emotional tears don't have particular health benefits.
I don't agree with that.
He says it's actually the reason we cry. I found this so interesting. It's a practical reason.
Build up in your tear duct?
No, it's a signal to others to say, please help me, because it enhances sympathy in others. So basically, that's why we do it. And
That's so interesting. If you go back onto what we were just saying of when we cry, and I cry with Adam when I'm very frustrated, that is totally me saying, please help me.
Yeah. And apparently women cry a lot more than men. Obviously, we know
But we are also, there's more permission for us to cry than men.
Yes.
Just in terms of the narrative around crying, that it's okay for a woman to cry, but it's not okay for a man to cry, which is obviously completely wrong.
Of course.
I have seen, does Ollie cry?
Ollie cries so much.
Does he?
Yeah, he's a real crier. He cries at anything that moves him. So he would cry at like a film.
I do cry at films.
TV show or... I mean, but his dad is also a cry. His dad will cry at an advert. I mean, they are, you know, they're quite emotional men, which I like, because who wants someone who doesn't have any emotions at all?
Adam very, very rarely cries.
And the kids, whenever they write him a birthday card, they always go, let's see how long before he cries. And then they all like enjoy seeing which one can make him cry the most. And then he always says, I'm not crying. I've just got a watery eye.
That's so sweet. That's very sweet.
It's very cute. So anyway, crying's going up.
Practicing down there care.
It's going up.
Okay.
How long has it been since we reported on,
you know,
vagina thing?
I feel that our vagina chat
has
vastly reduced.
And I'm sad about that.
You know, now that we're here, so am I.
So I'm bringing it back for January.
Amazing.
Yes.
It was. Okay. Can I just tell you something that made me think of it? I was talking to a guy in the gym.
Yeah.
And...
about your vagina. That's a bit inappropriate, Nicole.
No.
Good.
And that's now going to make a clip. And
maybe.
It's, you know, I don't need that to go viral.
Don't talk to strange men in the gym about your vaginas.
Oh, is that not a thing?
No.
That's not, I shouldn't do that.
Don't do that.
I was talking to a guy
in
the gym about our book.
Oh, right.
And then the next day I walked in, yesterday actually, and he said to me, oh, I've ordered your book. I said, oh my God, thank you so much. He said, yeah, I've ordered it from a friend of mine who's having a really hard time and I really want him to practice some self-care. So I said to him,
oh.
Right. Yeah. I said, there are some suggestions in there that might not be appropriate for him.
Or indeed possible.
He didn't know what I was talking about.
No.
I said, it's very... female skewed, just so you know. He goes, no, it's fine. I think as anything that... I mean, he was really into the whole book, helping his friend.
Bless his heart.
Really sweet. Yeah. Really, really sweet. But also, I really don't want to bump into him, which obviously I will do in a few weeks when the book has been released and his friend has read the chapter on self-love, because vabbing is in there and I am going to be mortified. Well, how did I get you to talk me in to adding vabbing in the book? How did this happen?
Because it's brilliant. That's why. It's a brilliant practice. And I'm standing by it. And I'll talk about it on Radio 4 and you can cringe and it'll be fine.
You are talking about it. If we ever get on Women's Hour,
yeah,
and they ask us, which they will.
About vabbing.
Yeah. You are going to take that question.
That's okay. I'll do it with a completely straight face. I'm going to be the face of vabbing.
Knock yourself out.
Proudest day of my life.
Okay.
Do you want to hear this?
Yeah, I do.
Okay,
I do.
Our nether regions have been the focus of beauty industry attention before. Remember Vajazzling and Gwyneth steaming hers? We've also steamed ours.
It wasn't called Vajazzling. It was called Bedazzling.
No, Vajazzling.
No, it wasn't. It was.
It definitely is. Because it combines the vagina and
jazzling. I get it.
Bedazzling would make no sense. Maybe for your bum, but not for your vag.
Or your biceps.
I mean, yeah, but not as fun. 2024.
Did you ever do the vajazzling?
No.
Oh, we discussed this.
Did you?
Obviously not. What a waste of time.
And stickers. Or gems.
And glue. I'm allergic to glue. That would not have been good.
My God, that would be a nightmare for you.
Yeah, it would have been a nightmare. I would have had to have got an antibiotics. I mean, it would have been a disaster.
It would have been the least sexy thing ever to have happened in your bedroom. 2024 is going to be the year of intimate self-care going mainstream, with people like this morning's Dr. Nigat Arif advocating vaginal moisturising. Helps prevent itching and make sex more comfortable. And more of us recognising that washing with regular products can cause irritation, brands are creating aspirational ranges. Check out Scandi Chic Mantle and Luna Daily. They're stocked in Boots, apparently, whose gynecologist-endorsed cleansing and care products are carefully pH-balanced and full of prebiotics.
What is it, a cream?
I think it's a wash. Sexual wellness is booming too. Vella's Women's Pleasure Serum, designed to stoke arousal, is winning awards. And Sephora has created a sex care section stocked with brands like Maud, whose co-creative director is Dakota Johnson. I don't know what's
Maud Women's is. Pleasure Serum? What is it? It just helps you you're...
I have no clue what it is.
What is it like? It sounds like it's a lubricant.
It could be.
Well, the word serum.
How does it stoke arousal of it and of its own self?
Maybe it's got. I think you have to use it.
Maybe it's got like like those lemon shower gels or the minty ones that make your skin feel zesty. Maybe it's like that.
That does not sound fun. That sounds like a yeast infection.
Combine that with the vajazzling, you'd be in for a whole world of hell.
Okay, let's talk about wellness retreats.
Okay.
I think we should try some more in 2024, don't you?
Yeah.
There's one called Ugly Movement.
What is this?
You put on headphones, the music starts,
yeah,
and the next hour is martial arts meets primal movement, smashes into kundalini yoga and techno party.
Okay, I can see that.
It's a lot.
Yes.
There's a lot in that.
Yes.
Luke Meles started Sanctum because he wanted to combine physical and emotional release with storytelling and community. The future of wellness is ugly, he insists.
Great tagline.
Great. It doesn't matter what you look like. Just do what you want. Do what you can. It's totally and utterly addictive. Rave meets ashram meets therapy.
I can see this.
So can I. So can I. And I like the sound of it.
Would you do it?
Yeah, I would do it.
I would feel like such a twonk doing that.
But all these things, they're only because they're pushing you outside of your comfort zone. And sometimes we need to be pushed outside of our comfort zone to learn, to grow, to evolve. You know how it goes.
Oh yeah, I totally know.
Namaste.
What else?
Monastic retreats.
Oh, yes.
Once upon a time, retreats were only held in monasteries and ashrams, and it's heading full circle. The urge for simplicity, silence, and surrender is stronger than ever. Eremito in Umbria offers a total detox from the modern world. You sleep in monastoic cells, lit by candlelight, no aircon, no TV, no phone signal. you're in a cave, yeah. basically. Wine with meals.
Obviously, monks always drink wine.
Do they?
Yeah.
How come?
They grow it. They grow the grapes. It's like part of their thing.
It's £230 per night full board and daily activities like awakening the souls readings in the chapel and walking in the woods.
Now, I shall tell you, I've actually looked into this for us because I love Umbria and I thought it'd be great fun. And I had a look.
I love Umbria and I love a monk.
I love a monk.
There aren't monks there though. It's just the surroundings.
There are people taken, running the retreat, but they're not monks. So I looked it up.
Jay Shetty ain't going to appear.
It looks stunning. And guess what? They had something called self-care retreat, but it was this week. So it just wasn't really going to be doable in time.
Did you email them?
No, because I didn't think we could get to Umbria this week. But I'm hoping they'll do it again. They have different retreats going on during the year, different kinds of things for different kinds of people.
I understand. Yeah. I think we should go.
Yeah, I don't really want to go to Umbria in January and be in the monastery because it will be a bit chilly.
But also, when the weather you don't want to go when it's really warm because there's no aircon.
Yeah, okay, maybe a spring trip.
I think March would be ideal.
Okay.
March, April.
April, May. Can be chilly in there.
Can be very hot in May. Let's stick to April.
Okay. We're off to the monastery.
Oh, that's funny. This episode is brought to you by One Wellbeck Women's Health, a leading private clinic in central London.
Bringing together gynaecologists, obstetricians and breast specialists, it's truly a one-stop shop for female health.
Services range from breast screening to pelvic floor treatment and everything in between, all carried out in a calm and relaxed setting that has been specifically designed to put women at ease every step of the way.
I had a routine mammogram there recently and I couldn't have felt better taken care of. It was a truly positive experience.
One Wellbeck Women's Health has also launched a comprehensive menopause service, taking a multidisciplinary approach to managing menopausal symptoms through a combination of personalised medical treatments and lifestyle advice.
Putting your health first is true self-care. To find out more about this brilliant clinic, visit onewellbeck.com/women's-health or simply search One Wellbeck Women's Health.
This episode is sponsored by Horizon Studios.
If you're travelling this year and looking for high quality, sustainable and beautifully designed luggage, then look no further than Horizon Studios, who've launched two new ranges. The RE Series, the world's most sustainable 97% recycled luggage, and now the revolutionary Air Series, the world's lightest high-end suitcase.
If you have airport anxiety, worrying about the weight of your case when it goes on those scales, then the Air Series is for you and it is definitely for me. The Air Series pushes the boundaries of travel. Each detail is designed and engineered to combine an ultralight and durable product. It's significantly lighter than regular suitcases. Thank goodness, Lauren, that is brilliant. And it comes with a lifetime warranty because the most sustainable suitcase is the one that you only buy once. We used the cases to go to Paris and Wales last year, and as chronic overpackers, we could still wheel them around with ease.
We could. Ultra light and compact, the Air Series is made from a premium polycarbonate hard shell with reduced thickness and a recycled lining. It's 100% vegan and produced in a way that is 99% waste-free, blending design and function seamlessly. So, Nicole, you can pack those extra 5 pairs of shoes with no stress.
The entire range is available on the Horizon Studios website and in all leading department stores. Just go to www.horizon-studios.com.
Horizon Studios. Let's go further.
This week we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it,
you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit, and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
notion.com/self-care club. Podcast recommendations. Listen.
Listening.
Listen.
Yeah. Ears are pricking up.
Listen to the sound here in my heart. I am struggling with podcasts. Oh, actually, no. I've listened to two amazing podcasts this week.
Well, share them because I want to retract my recommendation from last week. Retraction. The one that I suggested, which was the true crime thing, what was it called? Can't even remember, about the pastor and killing his wife. Don't bother. It's completely crap.
Okay.
Retraction.
I don't know. I know I say this in most shows. Yeah.
How do I have the time to
consume so much content? Consume so much content.
I do.
I don't get it.
I love it.
I don't understand.
I love it. Come on, what are your recommendations? I need some.
They're only odd episodes.
Yeah.
One was the Rich Roll podcast, which is a podcast I used to adore and just haven't been listening for ages.
I love that.
I don't know why I haven't even been listening to him. I am obsessed with him.
I know.
But I feel like he hasn't been in my life. Anyway,
yeah.
Rory, do you remember Rory from our Dry January show and our Sober Curious show?
Of course.
Rory Fairbairns, he was on the Rich Roll podcast.
Good for him.
So I thought, oh, I must email Rory actually later to tell him. I want to hear him on the show because good for him for going on such an enormous show.
Yeah.
And he was talking about his message and his platform, and it is absolutely brilliant. Obviously, he's talking about living a sober life and how to do that and all the reasons why you should. Mm-hmm. But actually, the message goes a lot deeper in how to live well, how to be well, all the things that you should be tuning into. I always found Rory so inspiring, and he's a really inspiring guy. So have a listen to that. And he also talks about his background and his backstory, and it's just fascinating. Okay. So that's that. And the other one I have listened to, which I have loved, is Michelle Obama is on Jay Shetty this week.
I keep hearing the ads for this.
I could listen to her forever.
Yeah. She is everything. She is hashtag goals. I mean, I don't want to be married to the President of the United States because I think
she isn't.
That would take up a lot of time.
She actually isn't.
No, but she was. I mean,
But she also said, I don't want people to walk around thinking that Barack and I are hashtag couples goals.
Really?
I don't want that. Marriage is hard. We've been together 31 years.
Yeah.
She's very honest.
Yeah.
And very relatable. Yeah. How can this first lady be so relatable? She is everything.
I love her. I have been listening to a podcast that's quite fun, but I feel a little old for it. But I'm going to suggest it to perhaps our listeners who are in their 20s. It's called 28 Dates Later, and it's hosted by Grace Campbell, who's actually Alistair Campbell, the politician's daughter. She's a comedian, and she's fed up with the dating world and being matched with all the same people and going to the same pub. So she's doing 28 dates in 2 months, only picking people who are the total opposite of her type. She's like foot fetishes, sugar daddies, polyamorous. She's going on dates with all of them just to see if going outside of her own box and her own comfort zone gets her any closer to finding a match. It's not amazing, but it's entertaining to listen to.
Well, it's probably not amazing to you because you're not at that stage of life.
It's not that. It's I don't like the format because it's more about her. She has a mate on to chat about the date and then she puts in snippets of the date. But I would like more of the actual date in the podcast. That's why I'm not loving it so much, because I don't feel like I'm getting a handle on how the dating is going. It's more about her chatting about the date with her mates.
Isn't that the same thing?
No, because you're not getting into their conversation. I want to be a fly on the wall of their date, and I'm not. That's why. That's what I'm saying. It's all right, but it's not amazing.
I wish you should record the date.
Yeah, more of it.
It would hinder the date, don't you think?
Well, it is recorded, and I'm assuming that she has to ask these men's permission to broadcast it. It can't be done underhand.
See, that must be illegal. That is already problematic.
Hi, do you want to go on a first date with me? I know we met on an app. I'm going to record it and put it on a podcast.
And also the guy's going to go along. Is it just guys she dates?
Yeah.
So the guy's going to go along and he's not going to be himself or relaxed because he knows that it's all going out to air.
I mean, they're pretty out there, these guys. And they do share stuff that...
Lauren, it's been a long time since you and I have been on the dating scene.
It has.
It's probably moved on somewhat.
Do you think?
James has stood up. James, does he have something to tell us about the dating scene?
James hasn't been on the dating scene. He's been married forever. What does he know about dates?
What do you know about dates, James?
What do you know about dates? Nothing. He's mouthing nothing. Nothing.
Okay. I bet he'd be quite good on a date, James. His first date with Natalie.
We went somewhere to eat.
Can they hear you?
We went somewhere to eat.
Yeah. Where?
Yeah, where did you go, James?
Where did you take her? Pizza Express.
How can you forget?
Crazy Bear in
nice. Australia. Good first date.
Did you pay?
Yes. We were forced to sit next to one another.
Oh, orcs.
Oh no, that's terrible.
Super fashionable, cool seating environment. Then we went for a drink after.
Yeah. Why is,
why is it in inverted commas?
Well, because I got in the cab and I was just like, take us to a bar. Thought would be cool and see where the cabbie dropped us. And he went, do you want a gay bar?
What?
As what? Was he like coming
on?
Was
slicking me up. That was great.
Was
and
he?
Then we arrived at the bar, and I said, "I'll have whiskey," and she said, "I'll have a Diet Coke." And I was like, "Great, bye, have a great evening."
Well, it must have been a listen. It must have been a successful date because you've been married how long?
She tricked me. I assume at that point she must have put something in my drink and has been doing so ever since.
And that is quite possible, James.
That is so not possible. Have you met his wife? She's like the sweetest, loveliest woman.
Maybe that's subterfuge.
Anyway, I just think James would turn up on a date. He's really chatty. He's really bubbly. He's really charismatic. You'd be like, yeah, we're going to have a good night.
I totally agree. Many a woman has been laughed into bed.
By James.
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't like to cast aspersions on James's past dating history.
What was your best first date?
My best first date? Well, my first date with Ollie, he took me somewhere really flash in town. And I was quite young. And I was trying to be really sophisticated. And I'd come straight from work and I'd brought a dress and I changed in the toilets of a bar next door so that I was
classy.
Dressed up properly. And we were sitting at the table with the candle between us and sort of chatting, choosing food and chatting. And I could smell something and I couldn't figure out what it was. And then I realised I'd set fire to the bottom of my menu because I was holding it over the candle. It wasn't so sophisticated. It wasn't the vibe that I was like trying to give off.
I bet it broke the ice though. Well, you needed some ice. Oh dear. That was your first day. I never knew that. It's funny that I still find things
actually, that wasn't our first date. Our very first date together was him rocking up at my house with a load of my friends saying, who wants to go to the cinema? And me going, me, thinking loads of us were going. But in fact, it turned out to be just me and him. Bit orcs. Went to see the American president. That's how long ago it was.
I don't even remember that.
No. Thing. And then we went out for scrambled eggs and smoked salmon toast at midnight in town. And then he said, do you want to come stay at my place? And I was like, no, thanks. I'll go home because I've literally just met you 2 hours ago. That was our first date. The second one was when I set fire to the menu.
All right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. What was your best first date?
I can't remember any first dates, but my first date with Adam was great. We met in a bar in Soho, got really drunk.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure for the first half of the evening that it was the guy that I was meant to be going out with.
Oh, why?
Because he didn't look like the same guy. Obviously, it was the same guy.
Okay.
And then I remembered halfway through the evening, probably three cocktails in, that he used to be at this summer camp that I used to go to.
What?
And I had a massive crush on
him. As a kid?
As a kid,
no.
When I was like 13 years old.
Oh, no, that's weird.
And he was 16 years old. So, no, we must have been a bit younger. So
yeah.
He must have been 15 and I must have been 12.
Yeah.
And I used to really look up to him. And he was like this, you know, he was so cool.
Yeah.
And all the girls fancied him and all of that. And I'm like, oh, my God, did you go to such and such summer camp? He's like, yeah. I'm like, I had the biggest crush on you ever.
That is so funny.
And sometimes I think about that 12-year-old girl who was watching him in this auditorium in the end of camp show.
Yeah.
And he was prancing on stage. I mean, I was just like...
He's not a prancer, your husband.
He was back then.
Okay. There's many things. Prancer, not one of them.
He was much more extrovert when he was younger. And I think of her sitting in that theatre, watching him on stage, sort of lusting after him and being like totally in awe of this guy, thinking, God, if she'd have only known that was her future husband and the future father of her children.
It would have blown your mind.
Yeah.
Because at 12, 15-year-old boys are really old, really cool, and completely unobtainable.
Totally unobtainable.
Because you don't like really have boobs or anything. And they're just not interested in you at all.
No.
And, you know, they are a big deal. Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
Love that.
What have we got coming up on next week's show, Laura Mishcon?
We are...
You don't remember, do you?
I do remember. I do. I know exactly what it is. We are talking...
About... Don't invite me.
I don't want to go.
We're talking about not doing things that you don't want to do in 2024. Because you know what we call that?
Self-care.
Yeah! So that's going to be next week's show. If you want to be in touch, come email us hello@theselfcareclub.co.uk. If you want to buy a book, the link is in our show notes. If you want to come and find us on our socials, please do. We love hearing from you. We love you being a part of the club, and we will be back on Monday.
Bye-bye.